All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, now we come to the time where we're going to go back over, Lord, just who you are. And Father God, we need to do this. Every so often, Lord, we need to be reminded of your awesomeness, your divinity, your humanness, all your characteristics, Lord, because that is what makes you special. Not just some person that lived a long time ago, but God the Son who has lived forever and ever. Amen. Father, we just ask now that you will let your Holy Spirit open these secrets up to us, that we may know you, we may worship you, we may serve you in all the ways that you have called us to. So Lord, I just ask that you will remove me from this and let your Holy Spirit do all the talking. Thank you, Father, and in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, last week I spoke on reflecting the light of Jesus to all those around us in this new year and always. The best reflector that we know of is a mirror. And to reflect a light at its brightest, the mirror must not be tarnished or broken. We've all looked in a mirror that had smudges and tarnishment, and we see the reflection that is off. There's something about us. You know, my nose may be over here, or my forehead may be down on the floor. Well, a broken mirror, I end up looking like a Picasso painting. Some of y'all will get that, some of you won't. That's okay. The mirror must be smoothed and polished. Now, original mirrors were made out of metal. I thought about getting a picture of a bronze mirror or a silver mirror, and what it was before the production of glass, they would polish this to a fine point to where you could see yourself. And all of us have done that. We've looked in a kitchen cabinet or on the refrigerator that's like stainless steel, and we can see our reflection sometimes. That's what I'm talking about. But in order to be polished, a mirror must have a solid foundation. You can't just throw it up in the air and start rubbing on it. You know what's going to happen then? What happens when you throw glass up in the air and it comes crashing down? Well, that happens. This is something that I will carry with me, because one time I wanted to build a clubhouse and my daddy wouldn't give me a hammer. So I used a mayonnaise jar. I wasn't very bright back then, folks. But the point is, when we have to polish a mirror, we must have a firm foundation, or else that reflection is going to be thrown off and it won't be a true reflection. Well, how do we get that firm foundation? That foundation is not only necessary in mirrors, but also in all types of buildings. Every one of us have been in a house where the foundation has started to settle and we all end up walking lopsided. Things won't stay on the wall. You're constantly readjusting. And Lord help you if you have a china cabinet that falls over. Things like that are caused by a bad foundation. If we are to reflect the light of Christ to this world, then we need to know the light which we are to reflect and shine forth. We need to know who it is that we are showing to the world. Well, it is the true light which must be our foundation. Our true light must be what we reflect for all the world to see. So that begs the question, what and who is that true foundation? Well, we can just give the standard Sunday school answer. Well, it's Jesus. Of course it's Jesus. But what is it about Jesus that makes him the light of the world for which we should reflect to all those that God sends in our path? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. The necessity of the foundation. In fact, 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 11, Paul tells us that he has laid the foundation on which others have built. And that's what we must do. We must show forth a true foundation of Christ so that others can build on what we teach them, what we show them, how we live our life. Well, we can't do that unless our own foundation is solid. Paul said in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. He's saying, pay attention, people. You need to understand what you're building on. You need to understand this Jesus that we talk about. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Amen. He is the reason we are here this morning. Amen. He is the reason that we preach, we teach, we sing, we love, we forgive, we do all those things that we are called to do. Now that we have established that Jesus is the one true foundation in Scripture, on which we build our own lives, and which we reflect to others so that they may see the truth of the gospel, let us see how God's Word itself describes Jesus. And the best nutshell description about the person of Jesus is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In fact, I put out on the Pastor's Minute this week that I'm going to begin a series in the Gospel of John. Now, I'm not going to go verse by verse. We're going to go text by text. And this is the best place to start. Because you see, in the beginning was the Word. In fact, I think the first year it was here, I got up in here and I started saying John 1:1 in several different languages. Because in all the world there is no other foundation. There is no other Word of God except Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate. I remember I got up here and I said it in German. In Anfang war das Wort. In the beginning was the Word. I read it off in Korean. I read it off in Japanese. I read it off in Spanish. I even got some people giggling at me because my Spanish was so bad. But I'm going to tell you what. It's all true. But let's speak in the way that the Lord has revealed it to us. John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, we've got some folks down the road in the Kingdom Hall that throws, I'm going to throw a $5 word at you, an anarthrous article. It doesn't say in their version the Word was God. It says the Word was a God. But you see what that does is it strips Jesus of His true identity. In the Greek, it says the Word was God, period. You can't monkey with it. Moving on, verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Of course, we see that, and we'll see it again in Colossians here in a little bit. In Him, still talking about the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. There's that light that we reflect. The life and the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When you are in complete darkness, and I've spoken this many times, you strike one match, you have one spark, and then you no longer have darkness. And when you reflect such a great light around you, the people around you will not be in darkness because they can see the truth. Now, they may not accept the truth, they may not act upon it, they may reject it, but you are doing your job as a disciple of Christ in reflecting that light so others may see. Now, here in the text, there's a brief interlude because not only do we have the light, we got a witness to that light. Verse 6 through 8, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. We're going to talk about that shortly. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Folks, we have the same job. We are called as believers in Christ to bear witness to that light. You can do it by word. You can do it by deed. You can do it by example. But you are to bear witness to the light that God shines in your life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it says to bear witness of that light. Moving on, verse 9, talking about that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They couldn't recognize Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But yet, we see that in the New Testament, there were some that did. There were some that saw Jesus, believed in Jesus, witnessed the miracles. Didn't Jesus even tell some of the Pharisees, if you're not going to believe what I tell you, at least look in the miracles and believe? And folks, if you want to believe a miracle, look in the mirror. We're back to the mirror. Because the very fact that Jesus could take someone like me or someone like you with all the dirt and all the filth from the world that we're immersed in, maybe not intentionally, but it's all around us, and save us, reconcile us unto our Creator, unto God the Father. That is a real light by which we see the truth. And even though He made the world to this day knows Him not. The worldly system, those that live in selfishness, those that live in doubt, those that live in, I'm the master of my own realm. I'm not going to do nothing but what I want to do. The selfishness, the pride, all those things keep the world blinded. Now, the God of this world, i.e. the enemy of our souls, the devil, He helps maintain that darkness. He helps maintain that blindness, because we've read a couple of weeks ago that if the world rejects the gospel, it's because it's blinded by the God of this age. And on in John later on, we're going to talk about the confrontations that Christ Himself and the people who believed in Him had against this adversary. We'll get to that when we come to it. We need to keep going here. Verse 11, He, that is Jesus, came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Let's stop there for a second. Didn't Jesus go back to His hometown and He tried to do a few healings and stuff, and He told the truth, and they were like, who is this guy? He tried to tell them the truth. Who is this guy? This is Mary and Joseph's son. Who is he? He's done got too big for his britches. We know him. How many of y'all have ever had to talk to a family member about the Lord? And that's what they throw. You ain't got no right to talk to me about that, because I know what you did when you were 17 years old. But I've been forgiven. Doesn't matter. You still did it. I don't know who you think you are coming back here doing all these things. You think you better than us? Ah, we know. See, that's the same kind of stuff we're talking about. His own, the Jewish nation at that time. Not individuals. Individuals did, of course. But the Jewish nation rejected Him. Now, we read in Paul's writings that the reason that was so that the Gentiles could come in. So there was a purpose. Nothing goes away without God's purpose being fulfilled. But that's something we'll come to later. His own received Him not. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, for those that believed in Him, He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And of course, to them that sons and daughters, men and women, adults and children, those that believe on His name, they become the children of God. Why? Because Christ gave us the power. That light showed us the way how to do this. And when we did it, we became children of God. And that's something the world cannot know. Now, sometimes in our service, we have to make, and I hate to say this, but we have to make a compromise, not in what we believe, but it's like tonight, the cold weather. Folks, I know it's not as snowy and cold, but it's going to be -3 with a wind chill of -10, and it's dangerous for folks to get out in that. But it's not because I don't want to. If I had my druthers, I'd be up in here every day, 12 hours a day or 24 hours a day, living and loving and preaching and doing everything God has called me to do. But that's not what He's called me to do. He's called me to preach the gospel. He's called me to be a set of ears for people that have problems. He has called me to love, and He's also called me to accept love for you guys to love on me. And boy, let me tell you, I told you last week, I'll tell you again. Thank y'all for loving us during what I've had to go through the last few weeks. That includes Christmas and everything. Thank you. But all that being said, that compares nothing to the fact that Jesus, the true light, gives us the power to become the sons of God and the daughters of God. Why? Because verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, folks, we cannot misunderstand that verse, because there are some in the Reformed camp that will use that verse. Aha, see, you can't make a decision. That is not what that says. That it says that those that are saved because of the will of God. It doesn't talk about predestination and all that stuff. It talks about if you're saved, you're saved because of God's will to send Jesus Christ, the light. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We talked about that during Christmas time. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the verse after that talks about, for the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. God sent us the law to tell us that we needed Christ. And then He sent Christ because we needed Him. See how God works that kind of stuff out for us? It's amazing. Now, that's the text. Let's move forward. Now, the reason we're going over this again is we need to be reminded of the truth. The world frequently takes truth and it literally perverts it. What does pervert mean? It just means to twist something into a form that was not original. It perverts it to make it fit with what man thinks instead of what God the Father has given us, the truth. Jesus has been turned into many different versions of Himself. For a couple of examples, and I talked to one of my brothers about this past Thursday. We hear of the secular Jesus, who is a great teacher, but not God the Son. We hear of the Roman Catholic Jesus, who is re-crucified in every Mass. We hear of the Jehovah's Witness Jesus, who is actually Michael the Archangel. We hear of Mormon Jesus, who is the physical brother of Lucifer. And we hear of the Prosperity Gospel Jesus, who's a genie. When you rub Him the right way, He gives you anything you wish for. Brothers and sisters, we also hear of the Muslim Jesus. Y'all know there's a Muslim Jesus? They call Him Isa. But see, He is going to return to the earth when Muhammad comes back, convert to Islam, and judge all us infidels. Don't believe me? Look in the Quran. That's what it says. Now, brothers and sisters, all that aside, none of these and the countless other Jesuses that appear are the true biblical Jesus. What we have read in John 1, 1 through 14 is the real biblical God-sent Jesus of Nazareth, God the Son. He is the only begotten Son, King of kings and Lord of lords, to the glory of God the Father. Now we're going to chop up that text a little bit. Go back to verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. See, you are here. You were made. And you were made through God the Son. Let's pretend we're Sergeant Joe Friday and get just the biblical facts. Now, folks, most of y'all remember Dragnet from TV, right? It was Joe Friday and Colonel Potter. I mean, Harry Morgan, whatever that character's name was. But see, I like to listen to the old radio broadcasts from the 40s and the 50s. You know, I'll be doing something in my room and I'll turn my phone on and listen to the old. And all he ever wanted was the facts. Well, let's see if we have the facts about Jesus in just the first three verses. The Son of God is also called the Word of God. He has always been. He's always been with God, and He is God. Number two, although He is God the Son, He is also distinct from the Father, yet always with Him from all eternity and to the worlds without end. Amen. Number three, God the Son is the Creator of all things, and He sustains all things, including us. Folks, being the former paramedic that I was, you're one breath away. You're one heartbeat away. That indigestion, no, that didn't come from Taco Bell. You're about to check out. We never know when that time will come. I was listening. Sometimes not only do I listen to Dragnet, but I listen to the trunk feed from the KC Fire Department. And man, I go to sleep through that at night because it reminds me of back when I was on paramedic and you always had the scanner running in the background and everything. It just gives me comfort. But man, I feel sorry for them old boys. I mean, they were doing stuff I never did. Lifting assist. You know, they always have that, or they have the psychiatric patients, or they have the fall. They had a couple of DOAs last night. All that being said is because you never know when that last breath or that last heartbeat is going to come. Why? Because you're only alive in Christ. Whether you're saved or not, everything that was made by Him and through Him. Therefore, even if you're an unrepentant atheist, you're still alive because of Christ. And it's amazing to me that people who know the truth of life itself do not see the consequences of not knowing Christ. Because verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In God the Son, Jesus, is life." John 14:6 tells us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Who is He talking to? His disciples. He's told, I believe it was Philip, He said, "I'm going to a place you can't follow." And He said, "Just show us the way, Lord." And He said, "I am the way." It doesn't matter if you're by yourself. It doesn't matter if you're in company. It doesn't matter if you're on a road. It doesn't matter if you're in the air. It doesn't matter. He is the way, period. And the truth and the life. To finish that out, "No man comes to the Father but by Him." This life that is in Christ is the light of men. It shines. It gives warmth. It illuminates the narrow path on which we travel. The illumination is given through the darkness of sin, and this world throws at us, on us, and even sometimes in us. But with the light, we can see it. We can see which way to take that next step. You know, it's funny, this past week when we had snow up to our kneecaps at home, you know, and I was trying to shovel off a little bit, you know, you see all that white and you're shoveling and you don't know what's under that snow. So I took one step off and like to, you know, ate a face full of natural ice cream. Because the driveway ended and I forgot where it ended. So I couldn't see, so I put my foot down and instead of stopping where I thought the concrete was, it kept going into mush. Not a pleasant feeling, folks. When one doesn't know which way to go, it needs a clear path. And when you are in darkness, you need a light to see that clear path. Where do we find that light? We find it in Christ. Why? Because when you are in darkness, you are blind. You are blind physically. You are blind spiritually. You're blind emotionally. You don't know which way you're going. Now, folks, I'm speaking from although imperfectly, I'm speaking from years of knowing Jesus. I don't see how somebody gets through life without Him. I've turned to Him so much and He's blessed me and helped me and miracled to me and everything else you can imagine over the years. He got me home when I shouldn't have been home. He got my mind straight when it was off somewhere it shouldn't be. He's helped me out when bills came due, all kinds of things. And it's because I trust in Him that I continue to trust in Him. If somebody has proven their worth to you, why throw them away? You love them. You get closer to them because you know what they are. When darkness is destroyed by the light, then you're no longer in darkness but are in the light. Now in His greatness, God sent a forerunner. We talked about that before the Lord to give witness to that light. And we know Him as John the Baptizer. Although my grandma would fight you tooth and nail because she thought he was Baptist. It says right there in the Bible he's a Baptist. The Greek is baptizer, one who baptizes. Okay. Now that being said, John 1:29 shows us the prophet identifying the Lord outright. He proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And this was spoken by the greatest man ever born of woman. How do I know that? Because Jesus talks of John in Matthew. He says, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is in, least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Jesus said, "This John is greater than Moses. He's greater than David. He's greater than all these people that have ever been born of woman." Why? Because he was the one pointing to Christ. There's the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. You see, under the old system, and we talked about this at length when we were doing our study through the law on Sunday nights. And folks, we will get back to Sunday nights, okay? We will. Everything given in the law pointed toward Christ. Christ is a fulfillment of all the law. He is a fulfillment of all the prophecies that were spoken of David. None of the prophets are greater than John the Baptist. And what did John the Baptist do? He pointed at Christ and said, "He is the Lamb of God. I'm not even worthy to undo his shoelaces." I'm paraphrasing that. But we need to take the word of witnesses when they speak the truth. That's our job, folks, to point to Jesus and say, "That is the Lamb of God. He's the one that takes your sin. He is the one that gets you right with God the Father. He is the one that gives you eternal life." Now, whether they accept it, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But you are to tell them the truth. And when you do, you're blessed. I almost blessed myself right over that speaker. Got to be careful back here. Now, John saying that, what was John witnessing to? He was witnessing to Christ, the true light. In fact, verses 9 and 10 said, "That," speaking of Christ, "was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Back to Jesus. He is identified as the true light which shows every man that will ever be born the truth of God's love and mercy. But there are going to be people, Pastor, that reject him. Yeah. But the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, whether it be on this side of the Jordan or that side. Everybody will confess Jesus as Lord. But the point is, what do you do with him on this side? Do we love him? Do we honor him? Do we obey him? Do we believe in him? We should, every one of those things, because that is what reconciles us to God. Again, going back to Paul, he said that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That is what we shall shout from the rooftops, not only in word, but in deed. We who believe will believe that openly, not cowardly, hiding in a closet. Folks, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are believers around the world that do hide and have worship because they have to. Now, that being said, when they are caught, those that are not saved denounce, "Well, I never really believed that." Or they say, "Yes, I believe." And they become witnesses of the glory and majesty of God. You see, we preach that Jesus made the world. Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." Well, Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning God created the world." Yes. It is God the Son who is given the responsibility of creation. And he did a pretty good job. We're the ones that messed it up. Because God loved us, he knew that forcing us to believe in him was not going to be real belief. You know, if somebody's got a gun to your head or a sword to your throat, you better believe what I tell you. Most people, okay. But when you love someone with your heart because you know how much they love you, that love is real. That love is strong. That love is powerful. And it's much more than a fake belief. That is the kind of faith a true Christian has. Now, will we fall sometimes? Ask Peter. He denied the Lord 3 times. But guess what? He was forgiven. God will forgive any sin you commit. Now, He doesn't want you to commit sin, and salvation is not fire insurance. Do not think I'm saying that. But if you're truly repentant, there is no unforgivable sin except rejection of the Holy Spirit, which means blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which means I don't believe in you, God. I don't need you. I don't want you. You cannot be forgiven if you die in that state. Because God is a God of mercy and forgiveness, yes, but He's also a God of righteousness and justice. And He freely gives us that righteousness and justice and mercy and forgiveness through Christ. And if you spit on Christ, you're not going to be forgiven. That means and you die in that state. Because I've known people, atheists and stuff, that have spit on Christ and they were forgiven and lived good Christian lives after that point. Because God can forgive all things and He can have mercy on you. But you've got to be alive in order to do it. You die in sin, you're damned. I'm sorry, folks, but that's what's true. You see, the world did not recognize that light because the world loved darkness. And whether or not the world knows Him does not change who and what He is. Well, I never knew that about Jesus. Yes, you did. God puts in every man, it said in a couple of verses, the knowledge of right and wrong. And you will hear at some point the difference between right and wrong. What did you do? Did you believe the right and run away from the wrong? Or did you accept the wrong and run away from the right? Brothers and sisters, if I close my eyes and say, I cannot see the light, I cannot see the sun, does that mean the sun has gone away? Well, in your mind, don't be stupid, okay? A lot of people are stupid when it comes to those vain philosophies. Because I close my... Well, the sun doesn't shine to you, therefore it doesn't exist to you. Baloney. I had to be careful. I almost used a stronger word there. That sun is still there. The Son of God is still there. He always has been, He is, and He always will be there. Whether you believe in Him or not does not change His purpose, His mission, or His presence. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, you must believe on His name. What does that mean? To believe in the mission, the purpose, the authority of Jesus Christ is given by God the Father. That He is Lord, and that God has raised Him from the dead. And you shall be saved. And this is because of the will of God. Which were born, verse 13, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, man will cannot be reconciled with God on his own. Because man owes the debt of sin to God. But how can man repay that debt? Well, what is the sacrifice? Blood must be spilled. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And under the old covenant, it had to be a perfect sacrifice. Under the new covenant, it had to be a perfect sacrifice. And as Jesus said in the upper room, this is the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you. Brothers and sisters, it's shed for us. All we have to do is believe. And then once we believe, we have to act like we believe. Works will not get you into heaven, but once you're saved, works show your fruit. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Son of God, the Word, became man, became human flesh, and lived with us so we would live, He would live in us. He was and is full of grace and truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. He is the foundation. He is the Creator. and He is God the Son. He alone is worthy to be praised. Praise Team. Brothers and sisters, I do want to again reemphasize that without Christ there is no hope. If you believe in Him, God bless you. If you have an intellect knowing that He was a real person, but you don't have a relationship, you haven't confessed Him, you haven't believed on His name for salvation, come and talk with me. I actually talk with any of the men or women in this church who know Him. And you will see the truth and the beauty that we have light and life in Jesus Christ. He is the light of men for all that may see the wonders of our God and King. If you don't know Him, learn of Him. If you do know Him, God bless you. Let's stand.